Before we begin a Torah study, would you please join me? Brachat Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidshenu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu La'Asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Lord, we pray that our hearts would be open and our minds would be open, and that all that you want to develop in us, all you want to impart to us, we would be ready to receive. We pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. God promised to make Abraham into a great nation, and the promise came when Abraham wasn't a young lad. How old was he? 75. There you go. He was 75 when a promise came to him. His wife was long past childbearing age. And we learn something from this, that the promises of God are stored up and they're released when the Lord knows the time is right. The Lord could have called Abraham as a young man and then, as a typical young man, said, get married. He could get married, and then as a typical married man, he could have had children in the prime of his life. Instead, the Lord wanted to season and develop Abraham and Sarah. The Lord knew about the right time. When God gives promises, they're stored up and they're released at the right time. And so this means that you and I have to learn to remain strong. We have to learn to remain hopeful. We have to learn to remain faithful, because God brings forth according to his timing, not ours. Have you ever prayed, Lord, give me patience now? You know that tendency that we all have. Now, I like what Isaiah says, Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. Though young men grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24 begins this way. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Repeat after me. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. That's good. Verse 25 continues. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Say that with me. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It's good that he waits quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, waiting on the Lord and waiting for the Lord is not the same as just waiting. It's not passivity. It's not inactivity. Maybe the only thing you know about waiting comes from your childhood, where you're always asking your parents, can I do this? And they'd say, wait. And if that's all you understand, then you won't understand enough about waiting on the Lord, because waiting on the Lord and waiting for the Lord is not just stopping everything. It's not just waiting quietly. There is a lot of activity. Having hope in him, being confident that you're going to receive good from him while you're waiting, seeking him, the scripture says. The ones who wait for the Lord seek him. Seeking is not passive. It involves praying, fasting, listening, and then putting into action the things that the Lord shows us. It says, be strong. It says that the ones who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll gain new strength. And if you know anything about strength building, you know this. It's accomplished through repetition. It's accomplished by increasing the effort that you're putting in. You can't grow stronger by sleeping in your bed. How many of you can verify that? You ever have a dream you're going to wake up and it's like, well, I'm going to be so fit and so strong. And you wake up, you look in the mirror, and nothing's changed. Strong how? Strong in vision. Strong in faith. Strong in hope. And being strong for other people as well. It also says that those who wait for the Lord will take heart. They need to take heart. We'll look at another scripture in a little while that speaks specifically of that. And when you think of taking heart, it means finding courage and then encouraging other people. It's not passive. It's not just sitting in the doldrums. It's not just being quiet, lethargic, or watching your clock and saying, well, sooner or later, the Lord is going to do something for me. Taking heart means you come to the Lord and you find courage yourself that you can then share with other people who are in need. It's not just being self-centered as well. It's receiving that hope, that confidence, that faith, that trust in God that enables you to minister to other people. Now let's talk about the alternatives to waiting for the Lord. One alternative is just giving up. Abraham and Sarah could have given up. They didn't. They kept faithful to the Lord. Just quitting on the vision that God has shown you and just abandoning it, that's an alternative to waiting on the Lord and waiting for the Lord. Another alternative that people experience is they find another dream, another vision, something different from what the Lord gives. The Lord will call us, and it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy to fulfill all the things that he says. It will be worthwhile, however, and it will move us into a place of blessing, and we'll discover that when we are obedient to the Lord's vision, he brings fulfillment to us. Sometimes people are tempted to a lesser vision, to another vision, a different goal, or a different purpose. Tonight I'm thinking about Dr. Chuck Scutt, who had some medical challenges that kept him from practicing dentistry for a number of years. But he didn't give up on his own sense of vision and calling. And he's active and alive again, practicing and doing great things. It took holding on to that vision, not giving up, and pressing forward. Another alternative to waiting for the Lord is just becoming disappointed, losing hope, and then falling into the emotional condition where you can't even remember sometimes that it was the Lord and the calling he had on your life that had been propelling you forward, and now it's just emotion that's propelling you forward. Now, if you're a type A personality, one of the alternatives for you may be to strive to make things happen instead of waiting on the Lord in your desire to see something happen. You take action yourself when you know you're not waiting and you know you're striving. Now, I'm adding that as some special qualifiers, because there are times when God wants us to do something and he'll be clear to us we need to act. For instance, Lech Lecha, that's an active command that God gave to Abraham. Get yourself up and go out. And there's no way that Abraham said, well, Lord, you do it. The Lord said, no, you do that and I'll show you where to go. But if Abraham had said, I won't do anything, it wouldn't have been right. If he had said, I'm going to do everything, it wouldn't have been right. One of the great challenges is to be faithful to what God actually tells us to do our part, and he will do his part. Now, there are times in our inner person, our soul, our spirit, even our mind and our heart are telling us, for instance, pray. And we don't want to pray, we want to act in a different way. And so we try to make something happen. Have any of you had that experience? Three of us have had that experience. Well, it's a small group that's had that experience. The rest of you have perhaps never felt that. But there are times when our spirit and our soul are warning us that we're striving, and we keep striving anyway. How many can relate to that? We would rather apologize later to the Lord than deal with the emotion or the anxiety that we're experiencing while we're waiting and nothing seems to be happening according to our time frame. An alternative people have to waiting for the Lord is just not seeking the Lord. They wait, but they don't wait on the Lord. No prayer, no fasting, no serving the Lord with faithfulness. Waiting passively, but the waiting isn't deliberate, nor is it waiting on the Lord. Now, I compare waiting on the Lord to waiting for a bus. And you know this about waiting for buses. You got to go where? To the bus stop. That's right. You don't go to where the bus is. You're not waiting for the bus. If you're sleeping, you're not waiting on the bus, right? You have to go where the bus goes. That's why the Lord says, seek me. Those who wait on the Lord, seek me. Because it's not passive. It requires prayer. It does require prayer and fasting. If someone has never told you this, or you've never heard, that if prayer is not enough, then fast and pray. Add fasting. Humble yourself before God. And through fasting, we show the Lord that our personal strength is not what we're depending on. We're humbling ourselves before him. We're saying that in some ways we're powerless and we need his power released in us. Another alternative that people have to waiting for the Lord is whining. Now, I don't mean whining and dining, you know, let's have another glass of red wine. I mean forgetting to be grateful, forgetting to say thank you to the Lord, forgetting the good things that the Lord has already done for us, but not only for us, for other people. I'm still rejoicing because Rondi Wagner's mom isn't dying of renal failure. Her kidneys are working fine. I'm rejoicing because of the good news about Mason Dexter House. He went to the doctor recently and had a hearing test, and one ear wasn't hearing. We prayed after a service for him, and he went this week, was it? And how's he doing? He can hear perfectly now out of both ears. Isn't that great? I'm rejoicing. We don't want to rejoice just in our own personal needs being fulfilled. We want to rejoice in every act of kindness that God does that we become aware of for the sake of other people. Another alternative to waiting for the Lord is just giving into our weaknesses and not trying to be strong. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So you know what that tells us? There are times when you need more strength. Maybe you're in such a time. The scripture teaches us, if you need more strength, wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord. He has a way of renewing strength. Now let's turn to Genesis chapter 18. We want to take a lesson from Abraham and Sarah. It says this, the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance to the tent during the heat of the day. Interestingly, this was soon after Abraham had obeyed God's instruction about Brit Milah. But it looked like a normal day. It looked like a normal situation, and Avraham is sitting outside of his tent. It's a hot part of the day. He's sitting and he's resting. And this tells us something. The Lord comes when the Lord's ready to come. And when the Lord comes, he doesn't always announce he's coming. Sometimes we have to recognize the day of the Lord's visitation. That's what that we're reading about in Genesis 18. So Abraham, this is verse 2, raised his eyes and he looked, and there in front of them, front of him stood three men. On seeing them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, prostrated himself on the ground and said, "My Lord, if I found favor in your sight, please don't leave your servant. Please let me send for some water so that you can wash your feet, then rest under the tree. I'll bring a piece of bread. And now that you've come to your servant, refresh yourselves before going on." "Very well," they replied, "do what you have said." The Lord appeared because it was the Lord's decision. It was the Lord's timing. And we read in verse 2 and following how it all happened. It was three men who came. Abraham ran to meet them. He offered hospitality to them. And then let's go to verse 6. It says, "Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, 'Quickly, three measures of the best flour, knead it and make cakes.' Abraham ran to the herd, took a good tender calf, gave it to the servant who hurried to prepare it." I like this word, hurry. "And then he took curds, milk, and the calf which he had prepared, set it all before the men, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. And they said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?'" Now at this moment, you could say it's getting a little spooky, because how do they know Sarah? How do they know her name? And Abraham says, "She's there in the tent." And then verse 10, the language is interesting. It just says, "He said, 'I will certainly return to you around this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son.'" So now we have to figure out who's the he. We know this is one of the men. But now the language is very challenging, because it's the language of God speaking the promise to Abraham and Sarah. "Sarah heard him from the entrance of the tent behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. And so Sarah laughed to herself." She chuckled inside, and she was thinking, "I'm old, so's my husband, am I to have pleasure again?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? And why did she say, 'Am I really going to bear a child when I'm so old?'" Verse 14, "Is anything too difficult for the Lord?" So who's doing the talking? Who is that he who spoke? It's Adonai. So now, when someone asks you, "Where do you find Yeshua? Where do you find God manifesting himself as a man in Torah?" I would point them right to this passage. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, if you're sitting next to someone, ask them this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, that's a rhetorical question when the Lord's doing the asking. What's the answer? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. And then pay attention to the next part of the verse. "At the time set for it, at this season next year, I will return to you and Sarah will have a son." Who's making the promise? The Lord, who appears as a man and eats. But look at this phrase, "at the time set for it." Say that with me. At the time set for it. One of the keys to waiting on the Lord is to wait for the time that's set and not to try to make it happen ahead of that time or in your own power. There are certain things that God gives you power to do, and you need to fulfill them in the ways that you're able to. But there are other things that he says he's going to do, and you need to allow him to do it in his set time. The Lord's timing, though, requires what? Waiting, patience, strength, hope, faith. But this teaches something to us about what it means to wait on the Lord and to wait for the Lord. The Lord's timing will build us up. It will make us stronger. The Lord's timing will cause us to grow in our endurance and in our perseverance, what some people call grit, tenacity. The waiting on the Lord's timing will build up our trust and our hopefulness and our faith. That's part of what it's designed to do, to press us into God so that we become strong in him and not just in ourselves. When you've been waiting oh so long, isn't it easy just to give up and to think it'll never happen? Have you had that experience? And when someone comes to you and says, I've waited so long, what do you say to them? Wait longer. Don't give up. Right? And then when in the mirror, you're looking at that someone, and the someone is you. And the someone who is you is thinking, I've waited so long. What do you say to that person? Be faithful. Keep waiting. Wait for the Lord. Don't give up, right? This is what we want to say to other people, but also what we say to ourselves. Wait for the Lord. Turn to Psalm 27, verse 14, or make a note of this. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Okay, just look at anybody in the room, anybody you can find, and say to them, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. There's something in your life that will be fulfilled because you wait for him. Be strong and take heart. These are two things that are necessary. If you wait for the Lord, your strength will be renewed if you're waiting for him. Now, if you're just waiting like an impatient child who wants that cookie and your mother said, wait, that is not necessarily going to make you strong in waiting for the Lord. And if you were that kind of child who waited for mom to leave the kitchen so that you could climb up to the cookie jar and take the cookie when she wasn't looking, then that didn't teach you anything about waiting, did it? Isaiah 40 teaches us those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Do you want new strength? Yes. Oh, yeah? When we say that, we're saying, I want to do something that's going to make me stronger than I currently am. Now, I went to the gym today, and I was thinking, I want to get stronger. And then I was noticing, why do I have to do hard things? And why do I have to do even more than I want to do? Because if you want to get stronger, you have to do things that press you beyond your current strength. Everything makes sense when you get this into your heart and into your mind, that God wants to build up strength in you. He wants to build up character, faith, hope, trust, that will not only benefit you, it will benefit those around you. Do you want to be a blessing to other people? You'll need strength. You'll need hope. You'll need faith. You know why? Because people will come to you who have problems. And if you break down under the weight of your own problems, you won't be able to be strong for them. Do you want other people to be able to lean on you? If so, you've got to be leaning on the Lord. You'll need the strength that comes only by waiting on the Lord. Romans 5:6 says this, while we were still helpless and without power, at just the right time, Messiah died for the ungodly. Was he early? Nope. Was he late? Nope. Paul said, exactly at the right time. This tells us something. Yeshua is the master of perfect timing. No wonder he could go to his disciples and when they'd been fishing all night and unsuccessful, he'd show up. They'd done everything they could according to all their knowledge, all their wisdom, all their experience, all their skill as fishermen. And he said, try the other side. Why? Because it was perfect timing. Do you remember? There's this question about paying taxes, and it could have been a trap for him. And where does he get the tax money? From a fish. Well, how do you pull that off? Perfect timing, right? Everything had to be worked out perfectly. So the Lord himself lives by perfect timing. How many days did he labor before he rested? 6 days to establish a pattern for you and for me that Shabbat would be a day of rest and refreshment. Let's go back to Genesis. Now to Genesis 21, we'll finish in this passage. Starting in verse 1, Genesis 21, 1. The Lord remembered Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Okay, so how much time has passed between Genesis 18 and Genesis 21? 1 year, right? 1 year. 1 year of waiting. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the very time God had said to him. So trying to be discreet with the children in the room, you can understand something that Abraham and Sarah had to do certain things in order to conceive. So this was not an immaculate conception, and this was not a virgin birth. This was something else. This was a moment in time that was extraordinary because it was God's set time. The Lord said, at the set time for it, I will come, and you will have a son. Sarah conceived, she bore Abraham a son in his old age at the very time God had said to him. Say that with me. At the very time God had said to him. What's perfect timing? God's timing. Abraham called his son born to him whom Sarah bore to him Yitzchak. Abraham circumcised his son Yitzchak when he was 8 days old. Why 8 days old? Perfect timing, right? That's the time the Lord had set. As verse 4 concludes, as God had commanded him to do. Why was it perfect timing? Because the Lord had said, this is the time to do it. Anytime the Lord says to do something is the right time to do it. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Yitzchak was born to him. Sarah said, God has given me good reason to laugh. Now everyone who hears about it will laugh with me. And thus begins the first chapter of Jewish humor. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? So she's breastfeeding. Nevertheless, I've borne him a son in his old age. Isn't that an amazing story? God could have done it another way, a normal way. He did it this way because it was God's perfect way to do it. There are promises that God may have made to you that are waiting on his perfect timing. Don't try to hurry things up, but don't be passive either. And don't fall into the trap of forgetting. Don't let spiritual amnesia take over. Don't become a striver. And don't think that if you just watch the clock, eventually everything will happen. No, there are things that God wants of us. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to stay faithful to him. He wants us to do those parts which he says to do. If there's a lech lecha command to you, get up and do what he says to do. If there is an eighth day command to you, do it on the eighth day. If God is specific with you, let your obedience be specific too. And then I can assure you this, according to the scriptures, when you wait on the Lord, not just wait, but when you wait on the Lord, your strength will be renewed. You may find during times of waiting that you feel weak and powerless. That's normal. And that's why the scripture encourages us. Your strength will be renewed. And that strength will enable you to seek the Lord and to be faithful to the Lord in order to receive every good thing that the Lord wants to give to you and to prepare you with strength, with faith, with hope, with character, so that you can serve Him and serve other people all the days of your life. Now, if you feel like you could use some extra strength, that you've been waiting and you need the renewal of strength, you can just stand up right now. I want to pray for you a blessing, a simple blessing. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful to us, that you know us, that you call us, that we can hear your voice and we can follow you. I thank you, Lord, that you don't allow us to just be snatched out of your hand, that we belong to you. And Lord, we who have put our trust in Messiah Yeshua and are thankful for Adonai's mercy, for the new covenant of Messiah, we say thank you, Lord, that you renew our strength as we're waiting on you. Thank you, Lord, for set times, for times of perfect fulfillment that come from you. Thank you, Lord, that you give us strength. I pray for everyone who has felt weary. And we take to heart, Lord, your word to us that we would not grow weary in doing good. Thank you for the word in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Lord, fortify our inner person, fortify our soul, fortify our spirit in you, that we would not give up and we would see the great harvest, the great fruit that comes from being faithful to you and waiting for you. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? And if you're all by your lonesome, if you don't mind moving around so that you're not. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha yisar Adonai p'navelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat.